Today we're going to talk about tearing and opening. So I have in front of you, pass out the sheets. Sure, why not? This wide array, this huge array of stuff in front of me. So this might be a two-classer because there's a lot of material to go through.
You doing this again after the break?
What's that?
You continuing this after?
Yeah, I'm continuing that. Should I not?
I mean, we're
doing okay. What's that?
We just didn't know.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to continue this after the break. Okay. We're taking a one-week break, and I'm going to continue
this.
What? Next week, 1 week. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, because I just didn't advertise it. I thought you guys knew, but okay.
Oh, right. The next will
yes, continue right. This. And probably maybe even continue this class, this exact sphere. Okay, so we're going to talk about tearing. So tearing has a lot of ramifications that come into play. And I think that it's one of the things that a lot of people, or all of us, just, we sort of know, but we don't really know what's prohibited and what's not prohibited. Can you tear on Shabbos? Can you not tear on Shabbos? What kind of tearing is allowed and what kind is not? And the same thing is true about opening packages. You know, if you know, your mother always opens packages on Shabbos. But the question is, what packages? Is there a difference between different types of packages and how you open them? And the answer, obviously, is yes. Moreover, these are halachos that you're really not going to find in the Shulchan Aruch. Why are you not going to find the Shulchan Aruch?
They didn't have those kinds of packages back in the day.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing. What did they have for packaging, if you wanted to package something?
Ceramic.
A burlap sack or a barrel, right? You know, you had the two choices, right? Paper, sack, or barrel. You know, and the paper, the butcher's paper, right? That's how they wrapped it. That's all there was. So whatever you got, cheese, you know, meat, crackers, sugar, whatever it was, that's how you got it. But now, when you look at technology and the way they come up with closing things and making packages that are accessible and openable and all these different things, so the rabbis, latter-day rabbis, modern rabbanim, paskind about all these things. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't address them because they didn't exist. So what can you open? What can't you open? How do you open it? How don't you open it? And you notice that of all these things, of all these items, and those of you who are listening at home, I can't help you, they're all different types of openings. You notice they're all different. So I've got a can that needs a can opener and a can that's a pop top. Right? I've got a box that opens that's glued shut, and then I've got a box that's not just glued shut. You'll notice what's interesting about this box. It's perforated. Right. So that it's really, these two boxes are very, very different boxes, and I'll explain to you later why. I've got
So these cans are now different from the old style cans that you could put a hole on the other side easily. These are now shaped that makes it harder.
Yeah, you could do this one.
No, yeah.
This one's tricky. Okay.
You just need to turn it upside down just so you can't open the one notch.
What's that?
I have a tea bag.
Yes, I do have a tea bag. I got a tea bag. I have a fruit leather. Very good. Okay, I've got a bunch of different things that we're going to talk about.
Things that didn't exist.
Right, things that didn't exist. All these things.
50 years ago.
Oh, I've got an orange also. And we'll talk about that too. Okay. That existed 50 years ago. So.
I didn't remember wondering if I suffer with opening up popsicles. I had kids over at Shabbos. I usually separate before Shabbos and I use that on top.
What do you mean you separate it before Shabbos?
They come out in little baskets, I don't know what they're called.
Yeah.
And I separate them and I put them in a black bag and kids take them out of the bag and just use them right to open it.
You mean we'll talk about it. Very good, Aviva. Okay, you're pretty close. Okay, says the Torah. Says the Mishnah. Avos Malachas Arba'im Chaserachas. We've seen this Mishnah 40 times, 30 times already. So the one we're going to talk about. So just to go through, Hagozes Esatemer. I'm source number one. Hagozes Esatemer. If you shear the wool, Malavino we talked about, which is washing. Remember we talked about that extensively. Menatspo, which is spinning, beating it. We did not talk about that. Sovea, sovo, dyeing it. We talked about last year. We did talk about Shabbos Mega, you recall. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hatovea, weaving it. We did not talk about. Hamesech, tovea is spinning it. Mesech is stretching the warp on the loom. Right? There are not many modern day ramifications of stretching the warp on the loom. Haozeh shnei batenirim, weaving two threads. I'm sorry, making two loops. Orei shnei chutim, weaving. Separating two threads. Now we get kosher, tying, which we talked about. Matir, untying, which is the opposite of tying. had Tofer State Tfilos, which you talked about sewing. Remember we talked about sewing, you weren't here last week, sticking, connecting, attaching, all types of things of that nature. And then Hakorea al Menas Litfor State Tfilos. Tearing in order to sew two stitches. You notice it's interesting that when the Mishnah and all the list, which one is different than all of those things? Which one is different than all the others? One of the things is not like the others. Which one is not like all the others?
The last one.
Why? Every other one, it doesn't qualify. There's no qualifications. But this very last one, it says, Akorea al minas litfor state tfiras. Someone who tears on the condition of sewing two sews. So let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara source number 2. Hakorea al minas litfor. So the Gemara says, Kriya b'mishkan mihava. All right, when did they tear something in the Mishkan? So Rabba b'Rabbi Zeira d'amitravayu, Rabba and Rabbi Zeira, as they used to say, shekein yuria shenafa ba darna korimba v'tofernosa. If you have a yuria, you have one of these curtains that got eaten by moths. So anybody who's ever fixed drywall knows that when you take the doorknob and you slam it into the drywall, right, so you can't, how do you replace it? How do you fix it? Eddie? How do you patch it?
The hole?
What? Yeah.
Clean it out and put something in the back and put mud on it.
You just put mud on it? You don't have to cut a square hole?
No. I normally clean out the hole.
Yeah? Not a good example. Okay.
Usually you cut out that piece that was damaged.
Right.
And you put in a...
If it's big enough, I'll say this. If it's big enough... Right, then you have to cut out to get a square hole so you could put a piece of drywall on and then tape over that. No?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, good. So the same thing with regard to weaving. So if you have a moth hole, in order to re-weave, so you have to get rid of all the smutty ends. I mean, I've never weaved anything or, you know, if you replace something, but they want it to be exact. So what they would have to do is they would have to untie al-menas litfor. On the condition, in order to sew back again, a career I'm going to ask look for a state to fibros. So we see from here something very, very interesting, that korea tearing is different than pretty much every other malacha, most other malachas. In that, most other malachas you just have to do the malacha, but korea it all depends on your intent. Tearing depends on your intent and how you achieve. Doing the accomplishment of the malacha, what the purpose of the malacha is. Okay? So let's look for a second in source number 3. So the Rambam will explain. Hakorea, I'm sorry. So then there's a basic machlokas amongst the Rishonim, between basically the Ritva and more or less everybody else. The question is, when the Mishnah says, Korea al-Menas litfor, does it mean tearing is only tearing that's forbidden midaraisa if you're going to sew after it, if you're going to attach after it? Or does it mean any type of constructive tearing? So let me give an example of something that you tear, that you're tearing it, that's constructive, but you're not going to sew afterwards. What's that?
Opening packages,
right. That's a very good example, okay? Well, if this is called tearing, we're talking about what tearing is, right? You're not going to reattach it, you're not going to use it to assemble something else, but nonetheless, it is constructive. Let's say, I mean, there's all types of constructive ways of tearing, where you want to tear for a purpose, and we're going to see in the Rambam. Or is it just when you want to tear in order to sew? So is the Gemara say korea minas litfor specifically, or is it korea and is anything constructive? So let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam source number 3. Hakorea kidei litfor shtei tfiros, amanas litfor shtei tfiros, chayav. Right? What is a chayav in Yoraisa? Okay. Only if you tear. If you tear in order to sew two stitches, for the sake of tying two stitches, that's liable. Aval hokorea lehashida, but someone who just tears something in order to destroy it, okay, I want to just rip it apart, that is patur, exempt, b'gnei shehu mekalkel, because his activity is destructive in nature. And it's only, when we say pater again, pater about Avlasa, but it's still forbidden. So only something that's constructive is forbidden midaraisa. But if it's destructive, it's only forbidden midarabanan. So let's say you're
tearing kriya.
Oh, that's an excellent example. In fact, such a good example. Let's look at the Rambam. Hakorea b'chamasa. If you're tearing in your anger, o al meis shu chayav dikra alav, or someone who you lost, let's say a relative, and you just like, ugh, you rend your garment, chayav. You're chayav. Why? B'nei shemiyashev es daito b'davar zeh v'yanuach yitzro. He's obligated, he's liable, because he settles his mind and calms his natural inclination. And because his anger is appeased by doing this, it's like you're fixing something. Okay, so isn't that interesting that it's considered constructive if you do it?
Because it helps.
Right, what if you just take a piece of paper and start ripping because you feel like it? How many people are sitting at the dinner table and start ripping apart the napkins? What?
Nervous habit or just because you feel like it?
What's the difference?
Well, if it's a nervous habit, you hide it. Because you just such a...
I don't think that's it. Let's say just because you feel like it.
But if you just do it out of fight, you grab something and just rip it, then you're not.
You ever saw people like that sitting in their office and they play with the tape? You know what I mean?
Doodle.
People do it all the time. Or you doodle or whatever, you're not allowed to do that. But that, again, that's not chaya. It's just usher. It's because it's tearing, and tearing is one of the malachos, but only constructive tearing, not destructive tearing. Okay. For the haposeach beis hatzavar b'shabbos, one who makes an opening for a neck in a garment on Shabbos, again, chayav. So there's a huge amount of debates in the Mishonim and Achronim about what this means. But assume, let's say you had a garment, and you had a sheet or whatever, you had a tzitzis, and you want to put on the tzitzis, but there's no hole. So you say, I can tear. Why? I'm not tearing it in order to show. I'm just going to tear it. I'm going to tear out a hole. That way I can put on my tzitzis. No, that's chayav because that's constructive. That is constructive. So it's very, the case is unclear. Okay. Yes. It's interesting. We nowadays see tearing kriya as a halachic reality.
Right.
You know, it's something that I do because I have to do, just like I have to shake the lulav, I have to tear kriya. The halacha never saw it in that way. The ideal time for a person to tear kriya is when they find out, when you lose someone. Because the tearing of the kriya is really it's an outpouring of emotion. It's an expression of grief. That's what tearing of kriya is. So, I mean, only Orthodox Jews are great at this. We take something that's supposed to be an outpouring of grief, and we turn it into this ritual that we have to do. You know, in reality, so someone who knows, so God forbid, when you lose your loved one, when you find out about it, so sometimes a person can lose a loved one on Shabbos. Or you can find out about it on Shabbos, and they're so upset. They're so anguished. Right? I can't believe it. Oh, my God. You know, and that you see people like that, you know, and that emotion. Right. You're not allowed to, one is not permitted to express his mourning outwardly on Shabbos. But I think the halacha realizes that there are people that, you know, you're in mourning, you're going to be in mourning. Okay. Yud Aleph, 11. Amadabeg, Yaros, Oros, Bekolon, Shel, Sofrim, Kiyotzer, Zeus, we learned last week about sewing. Let's say you stick two things together, right? Harezer, Toledat, Tofer, Vachaya. That's the D'oraisa. Remember, we learned that last week. You're not allowed to stick two things together. You're not allowed to glue them together, staple them together. You can't, attach them together in any kind of way. V'chein ha-mefarek mi-yaros divukin o oros divukin. What if you separate two pages that are stuck together? V'lo nishkavi l'kalkel bilvad. You don't intend only to destroy. Hareze toledat tokorea v'chayev.
So if you have a sitter and shul that's got pages like stuck together.
Well, it depends how they're stuck together. There are two ways for them to be stuck together. One stuck together is somebody was eating, Laffy Taffy. Some kid was eating Laffy Taffy. You got Laffy Taffy stuck between the pages. So we're going to see that that's inadvertent. That was not intentionally stuck together.
Okay.
So therefore you're allowed to separate them.
I don't think
them.
They were ever meant to be intentionally stuck together, but you do run across.
The second time, this is actually not Korea. Because Korea can only tearing can only be prohibited if it was in something was intentionally stuck together. Meaning in an error, they didn't cut the sefer properly. right? They didn't cut it properly. So an error is not an intentional attachment. So ripping those apart is not a prohibition. But there is another prohibition that we'll see called mitake mana, right? Makibapatish, as it were. Makibapatish is when you're not allowed to do the final act. Makibapatish literally means the hammer's blow. It's another malacha we will get to. That has a lot of ramifications. The final blow of the hammer, which means taking something that was unusable and then making it usable. So that act of separating the pages, of going through the book and separating the pages, could very well be makabe practice. Could very well be, many posts can say, is the act of making that unusable book usable. Yeah, Jerry?
You're talking about, I don't think I've seen it recently, but older books when they were first published, the pages were kind of steeled together.
Correct. Yes. Sometimes, usually
it's not done very much anymore.
With cheaper books, you'll find it, especially Israeli books. If you ever buy Israeli books with very thin pages, sometimes you'll find that they're stuck together.
I had a Yom Kippur Machzor that half the pages were stuck together, and I didn't know this Halakha yet, so I'm going through.
On Yom Kippur.
Then I found out that I told my
husband. You found out on Yom Kippur?
I found out on Yom Kippur.
Well, that's the perfect day to find out. You know, I carry it over till next year, right? Okay. So now, what else could you see would be intentionally stuck together that you are then unsticking? Oh, I don't know. Right? You see two pieces that are intentionally stuck together. These were, we all agree that these are two pieces of paper that were intentionally glued together?
Mm-hmm.
It's a scribe's glue.
Those new envelopes that are, you take off the top of it, they're adhesive on the...
Yeah, permanent. Those are permanent, though, those envelopes, really. Are
they,
no, you're talking about
the mucilage ones.
No. They have them now that instead there's it's all adhesive. There's a strip. You pull this particular strip off, and you stick them together.
Yes, no, but then there are also the mucilage ones where you just have to pull it apart. It's got like a sticky piece of rubber cement or something.
Okay, so let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Source number 5, please. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Ain shovrim hacheres, this page 2. Ain shovrim hacheres, you're not allowed to destroy a cheres, an earthenware item. Ain korman haniyar, v'ivneshu mitakin kli. This idea of tearing the paper, remember we just talked about that? That's exactly right. Shulchan Aruch says it. Because it's mitakin kli. You are fixing the vessel, you're finishing something. And we're going to talk about, is there another type of paper that one could imagine that if you tear it, you are fixing it, you are making it usable? Yeah, toilet paper, paper towels. Right, it's not usable in its current form because it's one long roll strip, and now you want to cut it. Whether on the perforations, on the periphery perforations, so we'll talk about that as well. Okay, your dalit. Here we are. Mem Aleph. Look at Mem Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah. Mipnei Shu Mitakin Kli says the Mishnah Berurah. Umayri is talking b'she'ein makbid al amida. You don't care how long it is. D'i lav hachi, if without, because if you did care, yesh bo gam mishum mechatech. There's another malacha we'll talk about called mechatech, which means measuring a quantity, which means cutting a quantity, a measured amount. V'im korea niyar likra'im. Let's say you take paper and tear it into pieces. Kedei lekaneach es atzmo bahem. In order to... The kanech means to clean yourself, right? This day they would take paper. Oh, l'shar is a tashmish. Chayav mishum korea. That's the case of korea. So who korea amenat l'takein. Because that's korea with intent to fix. Okay? Let's skip to the next line. V'likor igeret hamachut. And what about opening an envelope? Could you open an envelope? Can you tear open an envelope on Shabbos? Why not?
It was intentionally put together.
Even if you're careful not to seal, not to ruin the small letters, you're just going to tear the paper. Surely forbidden. And even to tell a non-Jew, okay, unless you have a great need, you should not open envelopes. Okay, we'll talk about what the problem of envelopes is also. and what the issue of great need is.
The unsealing isn't just tearing. It's like also if you put it over steam.
What if you rip it?
I'm just saying.
No, forget. Don't put it over steam.
Also
same problem because yeah. you're disconnecting two connected things. That's still tearing, even if you just melt it off.
Right.
But what if you just ripped it open?
You don't need what's inside.
What?
You don't need what's
inside. I do need what's inside.
The
I want the letter inside.
The Shabbos.
Why do you need a Shabbos?
Do you want
to know if you're accepted to university?
You hold it up to the light.
You still have thick it is, right? It's a thick envelope. In an age of email and telephones and instant communication, it's easy for us to say, well, just wait till after Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine you're getting a letter once a year from your husband in America.
So, but because it's all year related.
Telegram, close telegram, my results from the Bar Association.
Really?
No, maybe you had a call up after.
Oh, I had a call. They left a
On the telegram. That was a Nisayan, huh? Yeah. That's exactly the point. Okay. Yud Dalit. One second. Hamidabek Niyaros Aros, the colon, so sofer, and Gyotsu, but we learned this last week, but I'm doing it for the second half. Let's say you stick together papers with scribes glue. Hareza Toledet Tofer Vechayev. That's a derivative of showing in Yechayev. Vechayev Amefarek Niyaros Dvukin. So now, what if you separate? This is Sefanarach talking now, same like the Rambam. You separate stuck together a piece of paper or always rebuking. The loan is carved in the calcul divide. And you don't even just have the intent to destroy. Hareza toladat korea v'chayav. That's a derivative of tearing, and you are chayav. Okay? Memhe. Look at memhe. Chayav. V'dav kabazeh shedibuk zeh nasha l'kiyum. Okay? That's only where the page is. We're stuck intentionally, permanently. Like this example that you gave. Wait, I'm in shul and the pages, I don't know which one you were talking about. Sometimes they're stuck together because somebody kissed it or they had gum in their mouth or there's a candy. So that was unintentional. You never had that? It happens all the time. That was unintentional. So those pages, you would certainly be permitted to unstick because it's not considered, not na'aset l'kiyum. If it's not intentional, okay? And we're going to see other examples where that comes up.
But aren't you making it usable by doing that?
What's that?
But aren't you making it usable?
No, the point was it was usable beforehand. The book was already usable, so somebody stuck together the pages, but it wasn't intended. It was a usable book beforehand, and somebody made it stuck together. It wasn't that the other case where, let's say, the pages are stuck together, they're binded that way, you never had a book, really. You never had a readable book. The pages weren't readable, so tearing it the first time, you're really creating the book. You're establishing the book from nothing. Okay, so now we've established that you're not allowed to open any packages at all. You can't tear anything at all. It's always constructive. And have a good day, and have a good week. And from now on, you're always going to open your packages before Shabbos, correct?
No.
What?
No, it's too early to be done.
That's right. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Eggs or onions.
Eggs or onions. But it turns out, so we said, that tearing, it's interesting. Is the tearing that we do to open the package constructive or destructive?
Oh, it's both. It's really both. I'm trying to get one inside, but you're
right. But you have to ask yourself: the item itself, are you constructing or destructing the item?
Then you're going to throw it away.
Well, forget you're going to throw it away. Let's say you're not going to throw it away. I don't know. What is this thing? Right? We'll see in a second. You know, you ever know what this is? This is a Pedialyte. But also, you should have this for your grandchildren. It comes as Mondo. Anybody ever heard of Mondo?
Mm-hmm.
Mondo. So this is exactly how Mondo comes.
Yes.
This is Mondo, basically. I mean, they call it Pedialyte. Mondo is sugar water that kids love. It's a little bottles of sugar water. Okay? So now, is the act of opening something constructive or destructive? And I open this bag. Is it constructive or destructive?
Destructive.
It's destructive. The bag itself no longer holds the item. It can no longer protect the item. What?
Depends on how you open it.
It's not sealable, unless I glue it back.
clip it there.
But again, the bag itself, I've begun the process of destroying the bag. I'll come back to that. What? The bag itself becomes I'm destroying the bag. I brought this one for a reason, obviously. When I open the tea bag, okay, am I doing something constructive or destructive?
Destructive.
Right? We can all agree.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if it was constructive, it would be also midoraisa and forbidden totally.
No.
But as long as it's destructive, it's only prohibited midorabbana. Remember, we learned that. If it's destructive tearing, only destructive tearing is prohibited midorabbana. So if it's destructive tearing, then we have an out. How do I know we have an out? Because I saw the Gemara, source number 6 is the Mishnah. Okay? Says the Mishnah. Shover Adam es hachavis, lecho heinena grogros. Let's say you have a barrel of figs. Right? You get the figs, they came by the barrel. They only had Costco back then, you had to buy a barrel of figs. Okay? So now you get the barrel comes, and a Shabbos, you want to eat. And there's no way to open a barrel. There's no top, there's no twist cap, right? None of that. What? Bam! You got to break it. So can you break it? So the Mishnah says, yes, a person is allowed to break it. And those are the key words. As long as in the process of breaking, you're not intending to create a kli. And these are going to be the key words. The act of tearing, says the Gemara, let's look at Rashi for a second. Shover Adam Chavis, Malaya Grogros, full of figs, Bishakim, O Bishayif, with a knife or with a scythe or something like that. Le'echo Mimena Grogros, De'ein B'Mekalkel Shum Iser B'Shabbos. Rashi says there's no Iser of Mekalkel. Now, is that possible that there's no Iser of destroying on Shabbos? No, there is an Iser of Mekalkel. Of course there's an Iser of Mekalkel. Okay, so what does that mean? So if you look at the explanation of Rabbeinu Nissim, source number 7. So he says, Shover Adam Chavis Le'echo Mimena Grogros. Pirus Rashi, if you look on source number 7, Rashi writes, De'ein B'Mekalkel Shum Iser Shabbos. There's no prohibition of Mekalkel of destroying on Shabbos. He says, Velo Nira. He says, I don't understand. Didn't he call on Mekalkel in Peturin? It's true that all people who destroy, if you destroy something on Shabbos, let's say you take, I don't know, a sledgehammer, and you smash a piece of glass, smash my window. Okay, not only do you owe me a window, you don't owe a korban. You didn't violate an Isser of Shabbos. But, Isser Miyayika. It's not a Diraisa, but it's an Isser. So he says, I'll tell you what Rashi really meant. Since normally mekalkel, destruction, is pater aval aser, is prohibited, but it's not diraisa, it's dirabanan. So the rabbis gave a dispensation. They gave a permission. They said, you know what? We prohibit destroying things on Shabbos, but for the sake of a need of Shabbos, tzorech Shabbos, if you need something on Shabbos, we will allow you to destroy something. Kisharia, davka b'kli katan. When is it permitted? With a small vessel. To lo shayach be'binyan ushtira. Now you're not building, you're not creating another utensil. But if you are creating another utensil, then it's prohibited. And this is going to be the basis of the rule, which we're going to find out about creating another vessel or not creating another vessel. And that's the question you have to ask yourself. When you're opening a package, am I creating a new vessel or am I not creating a new vessel? Is it something temporary or not temporary? Was the vessel in existence beforehand? Or in the act of opening it, am I creating something that didn't exist before? These are all very, very important questions. So now, in order to really understand this, so I brought you a number of pages from Rebbe Ribbia's book. I must tell you, I'm a little uncomfortable doing it, so I'm using it as because I photocopied so many pages, but I'm using it just as a plug for him, hoping that you'll all go out and purchase this as a wonderful Hanukkah present for yourselves, for your spouses, for your children. It's a really wonderful work. And for those of you if you're ever listening to this on the internet, I'm not making these pages available. If you really want to follow inside, go buy his book. Okay, because it's not right. I don't feel comfortable, you know, for the class, that's one thing, but for the whole world, it's his book, and he deserves the right to sell it. I think you're sending him a letter also, thanking him for his great work.
References, you know, page such and such of his book.
I think it's page 847.
And then we'll go to get the book.
Yeah, you have to go buy the book. Rabbi Rivkin's 4-volume work, the 39 Malachos. Okay. So we're just going to read straight. I almost never do this, but it's so valuable and so important to read through. And I must say, Rabbi Rivkin, usually you read these books and you think, oh, you know, he's going to be, you know, totally crazy machmir, and, you know, what can't I do and this and that. This is the book, the 4-volume work. This is book number 3. And he is not very machmir at all. Surprisingly so. He is very, very reasonable, whatever word that means, you know, in understanding what people need to do and how people can, and he gives a lot of options for opening things on Shabbos. I must tell you, that's in contrast, I found, to the Art Scroll book, Shabbos Kitchen, which is also a wonderful work. But the Art Scroll often, as I think we saw this last time also, Art Scroll will often take the tact of, it's prohibited, go ask your rabbi. Whereas the 39 Malachos book will often take the tact of, you know, some say it's prohibited, and others say it's permitted. And it all depends on your perspective. I understand if somebody's writing a book for the masses, I can understand, right? This is from Rabbi Simcha Bonham Cohen. I'd probably be uncomfortable writing from, you know, Lakulas also. It's much easier to write things that are more machmir. Caring for food on Shabbos Nietzsche. Although tearing paper or plastic, even in a destructive manner, is rabbinically prohibited, doing so for the purpose of retrieving food or physical needs is permitted if one forgot to do so before Shabbos. The Chazal waived the rabbinic ordinance in these cases. Accordingly, one may tear apart food packaging, wrapping around bandages, napkins, medicines, clothing, or even toys, provided that no letters or designs will be torn, and that no vessel, container, or spout is created or formed. It is important to remember that tearing open a package or container of food and the like is only permitted if the act is clearly destructive to the package or container. However, tearing that results with any kind of useful item or contrivance is considered constructive and is not permitted even for food purposes. This will often depend upon the type of packaging or container that is to be opened, as shall be explained in the ensuing paragraphs. Now, it's also important to remember, it's only if your action is going to create, the tearing will create something constructive. Sometimes the tearing is destructive, and that will give you access to something that already existed. You understand the difference? No? Nobody knows what I mean? I'll give you a good example. Okay. See this? Rope teach all natural paprika. In order to open it, what do I have to do? There's a plastic sleeve on the top. Now, by doing this, am I destroying or am I doing something destructive or constructive by tearing the plastic?
Destructive.
Destructive, okay? Am I creating a vessel when I do that?
No.
All I'm doing when I open this is, I've destroyed this strip, which is only there in order to show me that nobody else opened it before. But now, I have paprika. I didn't create a vessel. I didn't make it. I didn't create anything. It was there before. And there's nothing in them on this level. Usually they come with a thing over here, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
No. Usually they come like covered or something.
Right.
That's what you get when you buy the Rokeach fabric. That's right. That's very nice of them. So, but you understand, that would be permitted on Shabbos. Why? Because this act was totally destructive.
And if they had a piece of
We'll talk about that, and then it'll be like this. Again, what do you think? Destructive or constructive?
Still destructive.
Still destructive, because again, that layer is there for protection. Am I creating a vessel?
No.
This vessel exists beforehand?
Yeah.
Did I do anything that structurally changed the vessel in any way?
No.
Okay? So again, this is also a very easy example because there are no letters and no writing on this, which is very, very important. I think sometimes people, they overlook the writing and think about tearing the package. The writing, as we learned last year, is a very serious thing. Tearing a letter or word, you know, two letters, we said, is mochek midi oraisa, ripping two letters. So sometimes people are like, I'm going to tear a package. Opening the package is a derabanan, maybe. Maybe what's in the chadchila. But tearing the words is a deraisa.
For example, a lot of times, the pre-printed, that's a
kosher
for Pesach.
Yes. Yeah. If you get, sometimes it's very, very difficult, and it takes a very steady hand to take a knife and to cut it in such a way that you're not tearing the words. Yes, Gary.
To what extent can one use tools to tear these things open?
Like what?
Like using a knife to
Well, knife. So we're gonna. Did we do muksha last year? Did this,
no.
We started muksha.
No, never.
You never did muksha?
No.
At all?
No.
Oh. Well, if we did, we clearly need to do it again.
Right.
Okay. So there are different categories of vessels. A knife is called a kalisha malachto leheker. It's a utensil that is used in a permissible way on Shabbos. To cut an orange, for example. So that knife can be used for anything because it's a kalisha malachto leheker. Now there are other vessels, other utensils that are called kalisha malachto leiser. A vessel that's normally used for a prohibited purpose, like, for example, a hammer. So let's say, though, I want to use my hammer for a constructive purpose. Let's say, for example, to bang open a nut. I've got a wand, I want to bang it open. So a klisha malachto le'isser is permitted, is you're allowed to use it, you're allowed to move it, l'tzorach gufo, for itself, and l'tzorach mekomo, and for its, or, and if you need the place. So in this case, let's say, what do you want to use? Let's say you had a, I don't know, let's say I opened this, and it wouldn't open. It just would not open, no matter what. So I could take my plumber's wrench, right, tighten it on there, give it a good heave-ho, and we're all set.
Break
the jar, whatever, I should do that. But I'm allowed to do that, because even though the wrench is a klisha malachto le'isser, normally it's used for plumbing, nonetheless, in this case, I'm using it l'tzorach gufo, for its utensil, for the vessel itself. And that is permitted. Okay? So we've got one. So now Rabbi Rivia does a great job. The various halachic... I got paprika all over me now. The various halachic questions involved in opening packaging.
Well, what about like scissors? Are they like...
Same thing. Absolutely the same thing. That's a klisha malachto le'isser. Because normally scissors are used for cutting. It's used for a prohibited item. But l'tzorach gufo, if you want to use it in a permissible manner, the scissors would be permitted. And I would sometimes advocate probably using scissors. Because, yes, that's absolutely correct. Because you can be more precise with scissors,
right,
as we'll soon see. Like, some packages are really very difficult to open. Let's say this one. Well, you can't eat oatmeal on Shabbos, but you know, assume you could. There's no way to make oatmeal on Shabbos, and we learned that once, right? Mm-hmm. So.
Unless you
want to
eat it dry.
Unless you want to eat it dry. Okay, you can eat oatmeal dry. You want to eat instant oatmeal dry, be my guest. How do you open this on Shabbos? You know, it's they make it almost impossible. You have to. There's a way. I mean, like in theory, you could like you take a knife and slit it down there, but you got to be really, really careful. So sometimes the scissors are the best way of opening something. And it's not that, well, I shouldn't use the scissors. The klisha malachto le'isser, this scissors, even though it's normally prohibited, is mutter l'tzorach gufo. It's permitted. Well, she's happy. Okay.
No, I would never thought that you could touch scissors at all.
That's right. Well, we better learn muksha. Okay. A, the various halacha questions involved with opening packages. Before discussing individual cases, it is essential to have a basic understanding of the various malachos and other halachic questions involved with opening, wrapping, packages, and containers on Shabbos. It should be mentioned here that many of the cases discussed further below are dealt with in greater detail in the relevant malachos. The following is a brief synopsis of each of the more common halachic problems. One, korea, tearing. Now we learned. Korea is a tearing of almost any material, including cloth, plastic, paper, cardboard, aluminum foil, and the like. Opening packages made of these materials can therefore involve the malacha of korea, if it is constructive tearing, as we'll see. Two, mechatech entails cutting or tearing an object or material to a measured size or shape. In some cases, tearing and opening in certain packages or cartons along their perforated lines can involve mechatech. Now, by the way, with the case I gave you, I tore along the perforated lines. Is that a problem in this case?
No, because it's destructive.
Right, I don't want the shape. I don't really care what the shape is. You understand that the perforations are only there to make it easier for me to tear. But I'm not interested in tearing it to a specific shape. I don't really care. Okay? And a different example, of course, would be toilet paper, where you do care how many squares you're going to do. They want to give it to you so you have a decision of how big or how small you want it to be. And that would be a different case. Mochek, erasing. Erasing or obliterating a letter, symbol, or picture is mochek. Tearing letters or pictures when opening or wrapping or packaging can therefore involve this malacha. So every case of opening that we will talk about is assuming you can do it without tearing the letters. And I think it's important to repeat that, you know, to emphasize just how important that is. Because I think that sometimes, you know, you have to understand also that in times gone by, they did not have packaging with writing on it. This is unheard of. They had, who would ever print four-color printing on cardboard? They could barely print in two colors on a piece of paper. So nowadays, modern packaging, it presents so many more problems than we ever had before. And you don't even think about it. But that's Masika. That's erasing. And it's a serious problem. Sometimes you'll get, interestingly, sometimes you'll get shot, you'll get halachically sensitive companies, if you go through one shop, and they'll have made it in such a way where there's no real writing around the opening. Sometimes. But I think that's an important factor in the packaging. You know, maybe Shabbos cookies or something, you know, open in such a way or whatever. It's an important thing. Okay, bona. The malacha bona entails erecting or forming a structure of almost any kind. According to some poskim, a solid container is a halachic structure in the context of bona. Opening sturdy sealed food containers can therefore involve this malacha. Can. Okay? And those are much more serious things, as we'll soon see. Make bepatish, making the final hammer blow. Make bepatish involves creating or completing any functional item. For example, fastening a hook out of a wire hanger or detaching pages of a new book that had not been fully cut at their corners are examples of make bepatish. Since opening a sealed sturdy container effectively converts it into a functional vessel, this action can be considered an act of creation and completion, hence make bepatish. Practical applications discussed in this segment. The following questions regarding the opening of package containers are discussed in the swing paragraphs. Wrappings, envelopes, bags, mats and cereal boxes, tissue dispensers, bottle spouts, milk containers and cartons, small juice containers, metal cans, put that on, you get the point. Okay, B, wrappings. The halakha regarding tearing of wrappings depend on the type of wrapping, as we'll explain below. Paper or plastic wrapping around food or other items that are required for food or physical needs on Shabbos present minimal halakhic problems with regard to tearing and opening them on Shabbos. The wrapping material is ordinary, thin and flimsy, and discarded after opening. They may be therefore ripped or opened, provided that no letters or designs are torn. So you have this bottle of ketchup grape juice, right? See, part A is easy, right? There's no letters over here. Everything's great, right? Very easily ripped. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I take it and I throw it away. Okay? That's terrific. Everything's wonderful. Oh, I'm sorry. It's apple cider. Sparkling apple cider. Okay? Right, so you see that? That's no problem at all. It's great. Okay?
Now, what about the rest of
or this?
What about
this?
You haven't gotten to them.
Oh, no.
That's a whole other.
It is permitted to tear candy wrappers. I've got a candy wrapper here. So, again, this is easy because it's just glued on in such a way. When I open this candy, it is destructed. It is clearly destructed because what used to protect this candy no longer will protect the candy. And these wrappers are great because I'm doing it in such a way there's no letters, there's no words. I'm not going to open it up because then I'll eat it. Because my diet is 70% cocoa on the left. No letters, no words. This is easy. What? There is sugar, but on the sugar buster's diet, if it's over 60% cocoa, you can eat it. So why do you think I go to Trader Joe's after this year all the time? Okay. Plastic or paper seals around covers of jars and wine bottles, that's what we just saw, around a jar or a wine bottle. Small packets of sugar. Okay? So here also, small packets of sugar. The hardest part of the Splenda is the words. By far. Because you have to be really, you get to the Splenda is easy, but you got to be very careful how you're going to open it. And it's such a simple thing, once you're aware of it, mm-hmm. just to do.
Then you can use a scissors on that now.
What's that?
You could use scissors on that.
Yeah, you could use scissors on it, sure. One may also peel off the foil or plastic freshness seal from the opening of a jar of coffee, container of yogurt. This is a freshness seal, right? Mm-hmm. This is actually the hardest part again of these dumb things is you have to do it very carefully. You can't just rip it because usually if you open it, it rips. So again, you have letters. It's hard to overstate the problem of letters, and you can't just say, "Oops, sorry." You know, just add it to the list. You know, you have to be careful. And if you did it unintentionally, that if you were careful, that's one thing. If you weren't careful and you're just doing it and you're not being aware, that's another problem. So you see, all of these things are would be permitted. Okay.
I think we wrote this before. I can't remember the answer. What about a library?
We talked about that. Yeah, when it's permitted to open that kind of book. Wow, am I really out of time?
No,
Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel. Well, we'll have to stop here. I'm sorry for those people listening at home. I'm sorry for the short shear. We had a little discussion beforehand. I would like to congratulate Miriam Stocker, welcome her back, for making it through the entire shear on no sleep after returning from Israel. And you know what? I would ask you to return to me the sheets, and we'll continue with this next time. So all the people that came, that missed it, tell them that if they want to know how to open passages, they should show up on January 2nd. Have a good little break, everybody.